Welcome, Soulfly Campers. We are so blessed to be with our grief guide and game coach today, Uma Girish. Welcome, Uma.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here and looking forward to some fantastic soul play.
Yay.
Yeah, so you know how when we play hide and seek, sometimes you're the one that's counting and all the other kids go and hide. And sometimes you're part of a group that's hiding and there's one person that's doing the counting and, you know, has their eyes closed.
Right.
So when someone we love dies, it's like they're part of the group that's hiding. They've gone away to hide. They've found a dark closet, or they've gone under the bed or behind a tree. Whatever their favorite place is, they've gone away to hide. And when you open your eyes, they're not there anymore. And so you get really sad, and you're feeling hurt because they've gone away. But they're actually hiding. They can see you. They know exactly where you are. They're hearing you count. They're hearing you say, "I'm coming to look for you."
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I found Susan. I know where she is. So they can hear all that you're saying. It's just that you don't know where they are. So we are playing hide and seek with our loved ones all the time. But something weird happens. You know what happens when we're too sad, or when we're too busy, or we haven't thought about them for a long time because thinking about them makes us sad, then they can't find us. They can't get through to us.
Ah.
Yeah.
You know,
we need to think about them.
Yes. I heard, I think it was like a Chinese proverb or something. I don't know, maybe you know. Something that said that when our loved ones die, they actually die twice. They can die twice. And once is when they leave their body, and the other time is when we stop thinking of them, when we stop remembering them.
Absolutely. You know, when you don't send them love, when you don't talk to them, when you think, oh, they're gone forever and there's no way I can ever find them or talk to them or have fun with them like I used to, then they die a second time.
Yeah.
And they're gone forever. Mm. It's up to us to keep the communication open. So we have to keep playing with them.
Yes. I love that. And I think that they, as long as we're open to them, they're open to playing with us too, right?
Oh, yeah. They're just waiting for us to realize that the game is still on. It's not yet over. They haven't gone home. They're still available to play with us. But many times we are the ones that think the game is over and we have to go home and we have to forget about them.
Yes. I had a friend that died, and he was a folk singer. And there's a song that says, "Buddy, can you spare a dime?" And when we went to the camp where he always was, he died right before the camp last year, several of us kept finding dimes. And I will still find dimes, and I often, you know, most often when I pick up a dime, I think of him, and I feel him sort of laughing and with that song, like, "Hey, buddy, can you spare a dime?" You know?
Oh, that's beautiful. Shall I share a story from my life?
Yes.
Okay, so I think it was a couple of years ago. It was my birthday, and I was missing my mom and dad because both of them were gone. They were both dead by then. And I kept saying the whole day that I wanted them to wish me in some way, because that's what they did when they were here, right?
Yes.
They would pick up the phone and call me and send me a birthday card. And as long as I was in India and we were in the same, like, the same territory, same geographical space, they would buy me gifts and so on. So this birthday, I was really missing them. I was sad. And my husband had invited a few friends to come over that evening to our place. He was, you know, getting some food together, and we were just going to get together with friends. And I kept saying to my mom and dad, "Please show me in some way, send me a sign, wish me today. Today is my birthday. You can't forget me just because you're not here."
Yes.
And the day was going by and nothing happened. And I was just saying, "Oh, my aunt, why is this wish not happening?"
Yeah.
So finally, my friends showed up and my husband brings out this great big birthday cake. And he opened the cake box. And on top of the birthday cake, right in the middle, were two plastic butterflies.
Aww. I got angel kisses. Yeah. Oh.
I just felt like Mom and Dad were right there popping up on that birthday cake in the most beautiful way, saying happy birthday.
Yay. Well, I got angel kisses, and that's, you know, some people call them the chills or something like that. And there's so many ways that spirit talks to us. And so, like, when I get those angel kisses, I think, oh, yes, you know, that could even be your parents or just your angels or just, you know, my angels talking to your angels, like, feeling you in that story. And when you saw those butterflies, that was your sign from your parents that they were wishing you a happy birthday. And some other people might not have gotten that message, but because it does rely on our consciousness too, what we bring, right? What we put out there and what we experience.
Yeah, it could be a sign or symbol that's somehow special to you. So you can say, show me your sign in a particular color. Or it could be that you're for balloons or pennies or feathers, anything that was a symbol between you and your loved one, that works too. Or something that they know is your favorite color or your favorite thing, they will speak to you through those signs. So we just need to ask and believe that they'll show us the signs, because if we don't ask and if we don't believe, then the signs won't happen. So we have to have faith and we have to ask and believe that the signs are going to show up at exactly when the time is right. Like, you can't say, show me a sign at 12 noon and expect it to happen at 12 noon. It might. I'm not saying it won't.
Yeah.
But they have their own time, you know, to show up. So
yes.
Be open, be aware, and be present. Be watching for the signs. That's important.
How about if we play a game with the signs? Is that something we can do?
Yeah, you can. And you know, one of the things you can do is pull out a favorite book of yours. So maybe you want to blindfold yourself, and then you sit with a couple of your favorite books. And then just start opening the book and let it fall to any page automatically. Don't try and control that. Put your finger anywhere on a page. And then open your eyes and look at that word or that picture or that color, and you will know that that is a sign. They're saying something to you through that color or word or symbol. And you can even specify an intention before you begin this. You can just start by saying, you know, let's say it's your grandma who passed away. Say, Grandma, I need a sign from you. Show me what I'm meant to hear. What am I meant to hear? What am I meant to feel? What do you want to say to me now? If you could speak to me, what would you say to me? And then close your eyes, open this book, put your finger anywhere on the page that you feel like, then open your eyes and see what that symbol or word or color or whatever it is. And that will be, you will know, because you know the connection that you had with your grandma.
Yes.
And so when you look at that color or symbol or word, you will know and understand what it is that grandma's trying to say to you.
Oh, I love this. Okay, let's do it right now. So, Soul Play Campers, if you have a book handy, I want you to try this. Right in front of me, as one of my Soul Play inspirations, I have the book, The Little Engine That Could. Because I keep reminding myself, I think I can, right? And so I want to do this. I had two ideas. So the first idea is this friend of mine that I was telling you about, Ranger Bob, who died last year. I'm going to ask if he has a message for me and for our Soul Play campers right now. And I'm just going to open it up because I love what you said. I'm just opening it randomly and the words that jump out at me are just two words, little train. And what that means to me, little train, means my friend Bob, you know, and what I love about the whole world of spirit, because those two little words actually mean a lot to me right now. and then for me to actually express it in a few words is always the hard part for me. But my friend Bob was great at being love wherever he was. You know what I mean? He was great at holding a space at the camp where he worked. And he didn't worry too much about being like a lot of performers I know, a lot of people that do music, and it's like we're always sort of striving to be known or to be famous or to be the big train, you know? And my friend Bob was just really good at being the little train and making a great difference for everybody who came in that he came in contact with. And so those words, little train, for me, coming from my friend Bob, they just sort of tell me to be happy and be at home with whatever happens with the Soul Play Camp, that I'm being the best little train I can be. Does that even make sense to you, Uma?
It makes perfect sense. You know what you're doing? You're taking all of these beautiful Soul Play campers on a journey, on a fun journey, and we all went on fun journeys on a train.
Ah.
What is an age that we associate with a fun journey? It's
yeah.
Speed, you know, it's the fun of getting on a train.
Oh, yeah.
Station.
Oh, and you know what yes, you're right. And you know what I forgot about? We're also, part of the Soul Play Camp is taking our Soul Play campers on the Overground Railroad. I have some of our camp counselors, like Louisa Tisch, it has started the Overground Railroad, and I forgot about that. So that's another reason why this book and that message of the little train, because we are, it's part of the way that we're journeying for our Soul Play Camp. Okay, and I want to do one more real quick, because another inspiration for me for the Soul Play Camp and for my life and for my life's work has been Mr. Rogers. And I'm going to bring this up because, I mean, obviously I didn't know Mr. Rogers. He wasn't my grandpa, but a lot of us knew him through TV. And Uma, you may not have really known him because you grew up and spent most of your life in India. But did you know Mr. Rogers at all? He was a TV guy. Okay.
Aww.
You can still see him in reruns and stuff, but he was an amazing man who did children's television. But his big thing was he really talked to kids, and he really acknowledged that they had feelings. And it wasn't just about entertaining them, which he was a good entertainer as well, but it was about holding the space for their hearts and for their whole beings. And so he's just been a really great inspiration to me. And he's been dead a while, and I just made him like a CEO of Soul Play Camp and some of my work, you know, from the spirit realm. I know it sounds probably really crazy to some people. Anyway, I'm going to ask if Mr. Rogers has a sign from the little engine that could. And he's kind of laughing at me saying the whole book, because the whole message of the book, right? And so what I opened up to was the page where a clown is flagging down the train. And the picture is what's speaking to me. And the clown is getting the little train actually to stop on the tracks. So that's a little deeper. I'd have to actually really think about that one a minute. But that's a cool, cool process. So Soul Play Campers, I hope you're trying it and you're talking to your loved ones and opening up the books and looking at the words and looking at the pictures. And I don't know, Uma, what do you think? Mr. Rogers, he was such an iconic, great guy. And so he's having me look at this clown who's stopping the track, stopping the train. And I think it's all involving about, you know, the whole thing of we are totally entertaining and fun at Soul Play Camp, but we're also kind of stopping the way we look at our whole being and knowing we are these soul journeys. We're on these soul journeys, and we do have things like grief and death that are part of our soul journey. So,
yeah, I mean, what's coming through to me, Lori, is that every journey has to end.
Ah.
See, the train has to stop. Once you're at your station, you get off.
Yes.
And we all get off at different stations.
Yes.
We don't all get off at the same station, so every journey has to end is what's coming to me.
Ah, that's perfect. And you know, the train is actually really tired. This is a very tired train that this clown is waving down. So I love that, Uma. I was wondering what you were thinking, because I was picking up that you had a good insight there, and I'm going to actually see if I can find the page again. So yes, I think you're right, Uma. The page reads, I mean, it's this very tired little train that the clown is flagging down, and the page reads, "Here comes another. He looks very old and tired, but our train is so little, perhaps he can help us. So the little toy clown waved his flag and the dingy, rusty old engine stopped. Because they're actually trying to flag down a train that will take them over the mountain, right? And in this book. And so the clown stops this rusty old engine, and the rusty old engine is saying, "I'm so tired, I'm so weary, I can't even pull a train. I cannot.
Right. And you know, the other thing I want to say, Lori, is that we think that it's only old people who are weary and tired and look like they've outlived their usefulness in the world that should die. Get upset when little babies die, when young people die.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't understand it all, and it's okay not to understand it. I don't think our human brain is made in such a way that it can understand everything that happens in the universe.
Right.
We are still only able to understand some of it, and we should be okay with that. Our job is not to make sense of everything. That's why faith is so important. We leave some things that we don't understand and just believe that there are some things I just don't know how the system works.
Right.
So when young people die and we get upset about it and we think life is unfair, we just say to ourselves, they reached their station. They were only supposed to be on that train for so long.
That's beautiful. Yes, and that's right. And that can bring us some of our deepest grief when we are faced with that mystery. And it is a mystery. Some of life is just a great big mystery. And I think it's when we suffer the most when we think it's supposed to be different. And what you're talking about is just greeting it with acceptance. That young person or that fish or, you know, whoever it was that wasn't particularly old or tired, you know, that you're right, that their train had reached, you know, their station. So I think that's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at it.
They bought their ticket only to reach that particular place. That was the ticket of life, you know. So we can't judge anybody else's journey and say, oh no, but he should have traveled all the way. We don't do that with people. If there are people sitting on the train with us, some people get off ahead of us, some people get off, you know, they ride all the way to the last station, many people get off in the middle, but we don't question that and say, how dare you get off now?
Yeah.
Can't look at life like that, you
That's
know
right.
Each of us has a different ticket. And we get off when it's that time to leave.
Yes. Yes. That's right. That's right. And I think that's why we love trains, because Thomas the Tank Engine, you know, we love Thomas and we love them because they are heading down the track of life. I really think that we love things because they remind us at our soul level about what life and death is all about. So this has been so fun. I love your voice. I love that Indian accent of yours and your beautiful English. It's just gorgeous. And I love your wisdom. And I also love your willingness to play with us here at the Soul Play Camp. But I want to make sure people hear it from you about other things that you're doing and other ways that they can find you in the world.
Yeah, so the easiest way to get in touch with me is through my website, which is umagirish.com, first name, last name.com, UMAGIRISH.com. So I write a blog on grief, which is called The Grammar of Grief. I also host a weekly radio show, also by the same name, The Grammar of Grief. And you can find this at uma.creatingcalmnetwork.com. That's uma.creatingcalmnetwork.com. So that's the best way to find me. You'll find information about my books on my website. You'll find all my upcoming events. I'm doing several book readings this year. And you can also get in touch with me for specific coaching requirements. I love to do one-on-one coaching as well as group coaching. I teach online classes. So you can get in touch with me and we can get on the phone and figure out your needs, how I may serve you best, and we can go from there.
That is so awesome. And Soul Play Campers, you'll find Uma at our Soul Play Camp. We have a page and her website is definitely there. So if you didn't get that, you know, come to the camp page. But it, again, it's her name, Uma Girish. com, and I just really am so grateful for you, Uma, in who you are and what you're doing for the world. And I'm just so grateful that you could come and play with us at Soul Play Camp. I also invite you guys to check Uma out throughout the camp, because she'll be sprinkled in at different times for us to pop up and play a game with us. And we're also going to hear from her book. I'm going to wrap up this segment by just saying we are so grateful for you, Uma. We're so grateful that your train could travel down our track today and that we could play some games. And we're just looking forward to spending more time with you at the Soul Play Camp and out in the world. So thank you again for who you are and all you're doing.
Thank you, Lori. Thank you for asking me. This was so much fun playing with you. Angel kisses to you.
Angel kisses right back. Thank you.